So just a quick reflection about New Hope first. New Hope is many things, but it's really about Emmanuel, God with us, and God being in this community and a part of this community and working with us and through us to reach out and love and change this world. New Hope has been a fantastic place to be because it's about resonance. It's about finding out what's on the heart of God and living that out, caring about the things that God cares about, loving the things that God cares about, being God's hands and feet. And it's about puzzle pieces. It's about learning to listen to each other and hear from each other. And God has brought an amazing group of people to New Hope to be his presence in this community. And we need each other. We need to learn from each other. We need to hear each other as we be that presence of Jesus. And it's been an incredible privilege to be part of that. So thank you. This morning's scripture is a whole book of the Bible. They told me it began with P, and I was hoping it wasn't the Psalms, because it might have lasted longer than that obstacle race. I'm going to read from Philemon. And if you wanted to hear from Philemon, I'm sorry. You'll get that next week. This week you'll get from Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. And to Apphia, our sister. To Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Whoa! Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, that's why he gave me the scripture, I, Paul, an old man, am now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me, as he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back again for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but he is even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. if he has done anything, if he has done you any wrong, or if he owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay you back. Not to mention that you owe me your very life. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you and the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more I ask, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. So do Mark, and Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Amen.
So we just heard this wonderful letter from Paul to Philemon. It's a letter that's oozing with love, isn't it? He writes to Philemon as a good friend, as somebody who he cares deeply about. And so we see throughout this letter, there are just many ways in which Paul writes to encourage. He starts off by showing appreciation, by saying, I always remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love for the holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. There is something really important about saying thank you and appreciating, noticing what people are good at and recognizing that. I wonder if you've had a time when you have felt particularly encouraged when somebody said, oh, I really saw how well you did that thing and you're clearly very good at it, you're gifted, or just pointing out things that you are good at, as we've done today for Jackie, Paul and Christy. The first thing then that we think about as we think about how do we as God's people live lives of encouragement for others is to notice and appreciate what God is doing through and in other people, to say thank you for those things. The second way that Paul encourages is by declaring this partnership, this wonderful thing that they both are doing together. In verse 6 he says, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing that we're sharing for the sake of Christ. Now, in Paul's version of the Bible that he was showing me and talking to me about before the service, it talked more specifically about as you share your faith, so your understanding of God's love and what he's already given you is deepened. And it doesn't matter which way around the words are, the real thing that Paul is saying is that there is something profoundly good and heartening about collaborating, about partnership, about teamwork, and especially when we do that, when we share the good news about Jesus and about his love with other people, we partner and we enjoy together something of God's blessing. And so Paul writes to encourage Philemon to say, this is something good, this is something wonderful that we're doing together, and it's a real blessing to me and to you. And so there's something special to celebrate about doing things in friendship with one another. We also talk about having hope. Paul expresses this hope that he has for Philemon, that he would be encouraged by his ministry, by his life of following Jesus and serving others. Excuse me. And the third way then that we see Paul writing this encouragement to Philemon is the way in which he says, I have great joy and encouragement because you have done these things. So when we think about how to encourage, we can take from Paul a really good example. He writes to Philemon in a way that is first and foremost encouraging and loving. He thanks him for what he's done and the good stuff that has happened. He declares his hope and his enjoyment of their partnership together in whatever it is that they're doing. And he does say in which ways this is having an impact on him, Paul, as he writes. And many of the New Testament letters, Philemon is a really good example, and it's also very short, and that's why we chose it. But many of the letters speak this encouragement, this spurring on of faith and goodness, and the remembering of what Jesus has done for us, and the hope that we have in him. But Paul's letters are never just encouragement. They are always also instruction and direction. I love this. Verse 8, he says, although in Christ I could be bold and I could order you to do what you ought to do, and yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. In this way, Paul is saying, I've encouraged you and I am encouraged by you, but there are some difficult things I want to say. But rather than ordering you, rather than saying that you must do this, I want to appeal to you. I want to ask you to do it because of the love that we share. And this comes to the hard bit then. He's talking about Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave who was owned by Philemon. And Onesimus had run away. And now Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon, back to slavery, with an appeal, with an instruction that is a loving instruction, not one of authority, but one of love. I'm sending him back to you. I would have liked to have kept him so that he could take your place in helping me, but I did not want to do this without your consent. And so Paul then goes on to give some instructions. He says, I'm sending him back to you so that your relationship might change. No longer a slave, but better than a slave. I'm sending him back to you to be a dear brother. If you consider me a partner, then I ask that you would welcome him as if you would welcome me. And so Paul writes this incredible instruction, a way in which he's saying, please, do good. Do something good. Not because I'm telling you you must, but because of your loving relationship with me and with God. He goes on. He says, confident of your obedience. And so again, we have this sense of Paul writing in a way that is instructive. He says, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. There is a way in which Paul is writing this letter knowing that Philemon wants to do good and wants to be obedient to God and to Paul's instructions. He says, please do good. He says, please, because of our relationship, because of your love for God and your love for me, please do the good thing, and perhaps even more than I ask. Paul is instructing, but in an invitational way. This is up to you. It's your decision, but this is my advice. And then he goes on, finally, to add this very practical thing that I think is a very much a Paul Fountain type task. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. I hope to come. I hope to visit you. But right now he's in prison, and so he is writing with this instruction and with this pleading that Onesimus would be set free and made a free man. And so we have here this letter of Paul's to one person, a letter which encourages, a letter which expresses enormous love, but a letter also that invites obedience and the following of his instructions. I wonder how it is that you receive letters. You've probably not received one letter like this before in your life, but perhaps you've received other letters that have really encouraged you. Perhaps when you get a thank you letter after something you've done, or a way in which something significant has happened in your life, and you've received cards, maybe birthday cards, maybe well done cards or thank you cards, or you've passed your driving test or other things like that. There is a way in which when people say thank you or well done, or they express some celebration with you, that we are all affirmed and encouraged. This is a really important part of our life. And that's why our families make such a big fuss of us on birthdays and at big milestones or celebratory moments in our life. But it's true for us as a church family as well. We celebrate together the good things, which is why today, although it's sad to say goodbye, it's also a celebration of what Jackie, Paul, Christy and the whole Fountain family have done and how they have loved us and been part of us. But also an instruction to be going on their way with great joy and with great assurance of our prayers and of God's power to work in and through them. And so letters can be incredibly powerful to encourage. And they are also incredibly important, particularly in the New Testament, to instruct. And so we read the whole of the New Testament, all of these letters, with that understanding that we hear these words in order to follow them, in order that we can do what Jackie and Ryan did in the obstacle course. We know what we're supposed to do and we know how to do it. We do it on our own unique way, and we do it with our own style, and we do it with our own speed, our own pace. But we follow the instructions that God has given us as we live our lives in obedience to all of Scripture. And so that's really it today. I want to encourage you to think about the letters that you've received and to be thankful to God for them, but also to read the Bible with that real desire to lean into Jesus and find what it is that he's instructing you to do. And maybe that's for today, maybe that's for this week, or maybe that's about a longer term sense of what is he calling you to do and to be? How is he moving in your life? There are lots of different ways in which letters are written, and Amy, who was meant to be here but has not been feeling very well this week, Amy's recorded a video of poem and a way in which that is also a letter of encouragement and affirmation. And so we're going to go over to the video from Amy now.
So for me, during this time of lockdown, we have been encouraging each other to give and receive poems. And for me, it has inspired me through the words of other people that they've been trying to put their heart on paper, rather like the letters that we've been looking at in Revelations, and rather like the letter we've seen today in Philemon from Paul. The encouragement and the instruction that we can share, can inspire each other and give each other hope. So I really love to read a letter, a poem that was shared during lockdown that was written by Christy Fountain. Love you. And maybe it's a letter that can help us to keep focused on the truth as we walk into the new season together. It's called Beauty in the Night. The garden grows at night. In darkness, life is springing up. It would be easy to miss. In the hiddenness, beauty is awakening. The garden grows at night, but how can there be growth where there is no light? Well, these are special plants. They don't depend on circumstance. Their roots go so much deeper into another source of life. The garden grows at night, but dawn is on its way, when the light will flood our eyes and we will see that the waiting wasn't wasted after all. The garden grows at night, so hold on, dear heart, just a little while longer. Do not worry about what you cannot see, because something wonderful is stirring far beyond what you could ever dream. I love that. I've read that a few times during our time of lockdown. It's fantastic. And in return, I thought that I'd write a poem during the silence of this week, thinking really today about the goodbyes and a goodbye letter to the Fountains today, and what a send-off might look like for them as a few of you gather in the garden of New Hope to say goodbye. And we all say goodbye from our homes with great love. So this is for the Fountains, really. This is the Fountains' goodbye. Dear friends, I say, friends, as you are now wrapped in the knowledge of our love for you, wrapped in the honey balm of laughter, of many moments of beauty, shared lament, and wrapped in the prayers of many years and all the saints. A smile tears through the loss of saying goodbye as we see the blessing you will bestow on others through the onward journey. Forgive us now for any grief we have enabled. Walk free with Christ, slow to offend, quick to celebrate his goodness, and carry with you the cape of super delight as you fly on the wings of eagles. Dear friends, big love surrounds you, protects you, guides you, and we thank you and bless you most heartily. There is no goodbye as we travel deeper into Christ, only a hello and a mighty yes. Yes for the fountains, yes for our love for you, yes into the new day, and yes, yes, yes. So as we focus on writing letters this week, may the letters and the poems of our heart be shared more between us, because they show our love for each other, and I really love you guys.